It's December 6th, 2012. This is the Hell Yeah Show. Hello and welcome to the Hell Yeah Show. I'm Al.
I'm Emery.
And we are bringing you best practices for fine living, advice on how to not let technology ruin your day. Emery.
Maybe they should have called it the Woo.
The Woo!
I still think that'd be a much better name than the Wii U.
Yeah, yeah. The Woo. The Nintendo Woo.
Yeah,
I don't think people would have gotten it. Well, maybe people would have gotten it. I don't know.
Well, what's the get? It's just, you know, people know Woo.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. We missed last week because on account of turkey and travel, right? You were out.
And sickness, which I'm still recovering from. Yeah.
More kennel cough or?
just normal cough this time. So, yeah. All good. So yeah, we'll talk more about the Wii U later, talk more about Thanksgiving later. Got some good stuff on the agenda. Before that though, Emery, what's been going on? I hear something about a Retina MacBook Pro.
Yeah, so that finally arrived and it's been pretty great. I like it a lot. It's I don't know if it's as exciting as the MacBook Air in terms of like just how flexible it is, but it's because it's definitely heavier. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's not as heavy as the other MacBook Pro that has an optical drive and all of that.
Yeah.
Yep. The Retina display is beautiful. So far, it has not ruined me for regular LCDs, which is good. I was a little concerned about that. But to be honest, I mean, most of the time I'm running it lid closed anyways. So.
Oh, well, man, it seems like a travesty.
Well, I mean, what am I going to do? Like sit there and. I spend a lot of time like at my desk, and I have like a larger display more than I like a high resolution display.
Okay, yeah.
So I mean, I haven't really I've tried back and forth, but I definitely love using it though by itself. I just prefer. I don't know what it is. Maybe if it's like if they have like you know an external keyboard, I just expect there to be a larger display up in front of me.
Right. Right. Cool. And how is the how's the battery life? I used one for a couple weeks and was not super impressed with the battery life. But
I think it's fine. I mean, but like I said, I mean, I usually am at my desk, so
right.
It's plugged in most of the time. I am using for peripherals. I have the I did buy one of the MagSafe power adapters because I have already an 85 watt power supply at the house.
Okay. Yep.
So when I'm at home, if I want to charge it, I use that guy with the adapter. So I have like that's been working pretty well. I also got the Thunderbolt to Gigabit Ethernet adapter,
right? Yeah,
and that works great. No complaint.
Cool.
I haven't tried any USB 3 devices with it at all. The student worker in my office, he does like some music. He does some music recording stuff and has some other. Goofy things he does with hardware, and I guess he ran into a bug with the USB 3 where it basically locks everything to one bus speed or the other, so the other USB ports don't work, or they don't, like, you can't use a USB 2 device and a USB 3 device, but I don't know if that's been fixed or not, but the interesting thing about that guy is he has a 13-inch MacBook Pro he made the MagSafe connector started sparking and smoking.
Whoa.
Yeah, apparently it's like a fluke thing where like if you get the pins, because there's five pins on a MagSafe and the two on the outside are ground, and then you have charge, and then one of them is like, power, and then the middle one is the charge regulator, like am I sending power to the battery or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I guess if you can manage to smack the MagSafe connector against the aluminum chassis of the computer,
yeah,
you can cause a spark.
Whoa.
And he was successful. So, yeah. I don't know what to make of that.
So that's the new MagSafe connector or the old one?
He has an older one. His is the L-shaped one. But I don't know. I mean, I guess.
You think it would work with the new one too, though?
Well, I don't know. I mean, to be honest, the main difference between the old one and the new one is that the new one has the middle pin is a little bit longer, so I would imagine that it's still possible.
Yeah.
If anything, it's more possible. But, because I don't know what causes it to spark, but he said when he opened it up, and the base plate underneath the motherboard was scorched.
Wow.
And it wouldn't boot anymore.
Wow. So was it covered under warranty or whatever?
He sent it out.
Apple Store graciousness?
He sent it out, and he should have it back soon, I would imagine.
Cool.
But yeah.
All right.
Definitely weird.
Yeah, yeah, that's a new one. Huh.
A couple of iOS apps that came out recently I really like, though.
One which we've seen before, one which has been on OS X for a while.
Cobook, yeah. There's a Cobook for iOS now, and it's pretty great. It also has a nice... you can also use it as a dialer, and so it has like a Tejic T9-style contact finder. So like when you bring up Cobook, and if you're dialing a number, you know, you could use it like a traditional phone keypad, and it will pick out the letters and give you the people.
Ooh, wow.
So you can do it that way, or you can just dial the number, which is kind of convenient and nice. So there's that. I like it. It's
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But the I really like I like it a lot, and on iOS it's pretty great. The new Gmail application, however, for iOS is pretty awesome. It supports multiple accounts now, which doesn't really interest me too much. Like, I really don't care about that. But the interface is definitely enhanced. It's a lot more responsive, and I like some of the transitions they're doing between things. So, like, if you're composing a message and then you close it to save it as a draft or something like that, there's a nice... it feels a little bit more connected with the rest of the device, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
So I have been playing with that quite a bit. There's a couple things about it that I wish it did a little bit better or different, but all in all, it's pretty great. And I think for a lot of people that prefer the Gmail web interface... and spend a lot of time in the Gmail application. Gmail for iOS is definitely preferable to using Apple's Mail app. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else they can really do with that, along those lines, but
And especially now that Sparrow got acquired by Google, so you know there's like no more product development on Sparrow.
Yeah.
At least that's what they said. You know, just like bug fixes and stuff.
Which my God. Did you see some of the bug fixes they had this last week?
No, I didn't.
So, there was an update to Sparrow recently to let it use the iPhone 5's display, which is great.
Yeah.
Great. But problem with that is that they did not address that the new privacy controls in iOS 6 require special access to the contacts.
Huh.
And if you have not given Sparrow access to the contacts, it will just ungracefully crash.
Wow.
So then they had like this emergency fix that came out a day later to address that. And meanwhile, I am really waiting for Baldur's Gate for the iPad.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been delayed like again and again and again.
Right,
and,
right.
And I don't think we're going to see it this week, so probably next week. But I'm so angry about that because I'm really looking forward to it. But what else was there? Oh, I didn't know. I mean, I knew that they did this, but Microsoft has like a hosted mail service for like small businesses and individuals. The Live 365 stuff. It's it's good.
Like really?
Yeah.
Are you talking about sort of the like the back end of the service, or are you talking about the web interface?
Well, the web interface is just OWA. It's Outlook Web Access, like you would have with an Exchange server.
Okay.
So anyone that has used Outlook Web Access, it's the same as that right now.
Yep.
But when Exchange 2013 comes out. In a few months, I guess, they're probably going to bump the back end on Live 365, or Office 365, I should say. I shouldn't call it Live, because it's not Live. It's the other thing. I'm fixing the show notes. But yeah, the Office 365's back end is Exchange, so the ActiveSync support is phenomenal, as you would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But the mail is reliable, it's good, it's fast, it has a lot of control features that other services don't, so like, you can do... policy-based like archiving rules, so you could say like, you know, keep all personal mail for 90 days and all business mail for 4 years or whatever like that, and then you can put users in different groups, and people that are in enterprise environments where they use Exchange are pretty familiar with all of that anyways, so it's not really a big deal, and it looks pretty nice, but like I said, it's definitely going to look better in 2013. I think it probably mimics the new Outlook.com interface a little bit more, so it's a little more Metro-ish.
So how are you interacting with this? Is this at work they are using this, or are you just personally messing around with it?
I was personally messing around with it because I was just looking at what my options were for mail service, because I use Gmail. I've got Google Apps. So HellYeah.com is Google Apps, but
right, yeah.
every once in a while I look around to see what my other options are. And I don't like to run my own mail server anymore. Like back in the day, I was okay with that, but not so much now. I wanted something that was reliable and well connected. So like I wanted to use Fastmail, but they don't do Active Sync.
Oh, okay. Because I was just going to say Fastmail. I'm a big fan of Fastmail. So yeah,
I love Fastmail. They're a great service, and they do a lot of really cool stuff. But they do not do Active Sync.
Okay.
Huh. So that kind of I don't like. I'm not saying I want like push email, but I like having the synchronization of calendar and contacts and mail.
Sure. Yeah.
That Active Sync gives you. So there's that. But yeah, I think it's inexpensive too. Office 365. I think it's like $4 a user a month or something like that.
Well, for individuals or for like whatever, you know, small.
Small business. So if you have less than like 50 people or whatever, it's super cheap, and you don't get the, you know, you can't use the online Office suite for that price. It's just for email. It's pretty cool. Definitely something to look for. I was also delighted to find that our favorite backup software for the Mac, Arc, now supports Glacier, which is Amazon's new, very inexpensive, long-term storage option.
Oh, yeah, okay. I knew I'd heard the word somewhere before, and now I remember it because Amazon sends me an email whenever one of these new things happens.
It's outstanding.
Really?
Well, what Glacier does is...
Because it's way cheaper, right? Glacier is cheaper. It's like significantly cheaper than S3.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so the difference is that S3 you can access and interact with in real time. And Glacier, there's like a 4-hour delay. So if you want something from Glacier, you have to kind of like queue a request for it. And then when it's available, then you can get it.
Wow. Are they pulling a tape out of like
absolutely not
somewhere?
Yeah. Absolutely not. I think what it really is it's probably just a matter of what type of storage it's on and what type of network it's on. Like if I'm not really sure how they're, I mean, it's not less reliable than storage on S3. So I'm not really sure. I think it's something to do with like the way they were able to cost the hardware for it was dependent upon it not being instantaneously real time accessed.
Or it wasn't also built like for that. Not the, you know, having that delay built in means that you can't be constantly sending it requests or something, and you know.
Yeah, or you can, but it has to be a little bit more controlled. So like right now, S3 is built for probably. I'm hypothesizing because I didn't build S3, but I would imagine that they've built that service for, you know, the most amount of concurrent sustained read-write that they could possibly do. Mm-hmm. Whereas Glacier might just be as much capacity as they can have without catering to read-write I/O performance.
So that's awesome. That sounds like a really good backup solution.
Yeah, and there's so many things that like I like to have on S3. That I expect, you know, like I would like to have instant access to recovering documents and things like that. But like music libraries, videos, old photo albums, like I don't interact with them that way. So like I can put those in Glacier and just leave them there pretty much indefinitely until such a day comes where I need it.
Yeah.
And since I use Arc, it's safely encrypted and protected, and I'm able to take my time getting it back. It is a paid upgrade to Arc to move from Arc 2 to Arc 3, but the addition of Glacier is worth it. You'll save that much money that it costs to upgrade. I think it was like $20 or something. I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah.
But
it's
a bargain at twice the price.
Yeah, yeah, and we're supporting continued development of Arc as well, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And he was, you know, Stefan Reitzhammer was nice enough to come on the show and talk about it. We should have him again on sometime. But, it's great. And there's still nothing even remotely close to it.
Cool. All right, let's see. For me, I spent Thanksgiving in Pittsburgh, which meant I had the chance to head out to Falling Water.
That's awesome. When you first said that, I did not understand what you're... I was like, wait, like, what? Where were you? Like, it didn't even occur to me that you were there.
No, so Falling Water is this Frank Lloyd Wright house, probably the most famous Frank Lloyd Wright house. And it was actually sort of the house that made him famous initially. He was, you know, well-known, I guess, on a sort of local or individual level, but not nationally famous until after he built this house.
Certainly not with the worldwide attention to, like, lay people like you and I. So, like, architects knew who he was.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
So, and the Kaufman family, who hired him to build this house, knew that he was good. But, he certainly, this house has got and continues to get tons and tons of attention as a real like landmark of architectural design, and that's because it's built on a waterfall, like, actually two waterfalls. It's built over a 20-foot waterfall, and then there's a 10-foot waterfall a little bit downstream that is visible from all of the balconies and such. And it's just it's super impressive as an engineering and a design specimen. And walking through it, and especially all the things the tour guide pointed out, we went on a guided tour of it. Because that's actually, as far as I can tell, the only way to see it, see the inside of it anyway. It really reinforces the fact that I'm pretty sure Frank Lloyd Wright had a similar approach to design as Steve Jobs did.
Like, really?
Yeah. Like the, you know, you look at you look at the way he paid attention to every single little detail and had to have everything perfect.
Did you see Steve Jobs' his yacht that was built that finished after he died?
I did not.
Okay, keep talking.
Is it incredible?
Yeah, and what you're talking about, you'll see further evidence of.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so it's just like you go through this house, and the whole house or large portions of the house are cantilevered, so there's a big supporting weight that is supporting a plank going out over thin air, basically. And so as a result, throughout the entire house, there's tons and tons of cantilevered stuff to sort of mirror this theme. So, like, the bookshelves do not touch the ground. The bookshelves are just, you know, supported by weights inside the wall. Everything just carries this consistent theme and to an extreme. Like, the tour I was talking about, how Frank Lloyd Wright was specifically involved in sort of, like, picking the exact wood grain and how many wood grains there would be on a single bookshelf door and all this stuff just, like, really reminded me of what I know of the sort of Steve Jobs approach to, to producing something. The difference is, of course, Frank Lloyd Wright was working for a client, right? So The Kaufman family had final say because they were the ones writing the check, and there's all these things in the house that it's like, oh, Frank Lloyd Wright wanted this, but then the Kaufman family decided no.
If I'm not mistaken, he designed a building here on our campus.
Really?
But there were enough changes made by the client that he said that no one could say that he built it.
He disowned it? Yeah.
Like that. I don't know the lore on that, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, anyway, it was very, very impressive and really interesting to see. It was like an hour and a half drive to get out there, though. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of crazy. So, yeah. So that was good. Do you want to talk about Steve Jobs' yacht?
Well, I'm trying to find, there was a Dutch website that had some really good photographs of it. But I don't know where it was. And it's really starting to drive me nuts because it was just beautiful.
Maybe this
is there's tons of stories about it. Maybe there's a...
Oh, okay. All right.
I think that's Ars Technica, maybe. I don't know.
Ars Technica is reviewing yachts now?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to see if... okay. This'll do. You'll want to see the video on this, but...
You want to paste in the show notes?
I will.
Okay. Cool.
And you can check it out later.
So anyway, and then a couple other things. I ended up upgrading from my previous Canon 40D camera to a Canon 60D. Which is just a couple years newer of a camera body, and does video, having a DSLR that does video is something I've been looking to have for a while.
Sure.
So I figured it was about time to make the upgrade since the 40D was.
Now, do you want to use this specifically mainly for shooting like 1080p, like high definition video, or is this?
Yeah, so it does 1080p at 24 frames per second.
Film. So this is the camera that people are actually doing for TV shows, right?
Yes. Yeah. So that's actually the 5D Mark II. And the Mark III. They're using for those. But this has the same. This has the same software and some of the same elements, but it doesn't have the same sensor. The 5D line has a much higher end. Not much, but has a higher end full frame sensor.
Okay.
But this, the video that I get out of this thing is fantastic, especially with, I've got a 50 millimeter lens, a prime lens, and the video I was able to get out of it is has been really, really great so far. So
50 millimeter, that's like, is that street legal?
yeah, you get some weird looks though. So, you know,
I would imagine.
Anyway, yeah.
But so, you like so this, it. Like, how do you carry this thing around, though?
So, yeah, it's not a carry everywhere with you camera, unless you are really serious about photography, right? And I'm serious about photography when I'm doing it, but, like, I'm not taking my camera absolutely everywhere with me. So it's more of like, I'll plan a photo shoot. I'll bring the camera, which is fairly bulky, but not terrible. It's lighter than the 40D. I'll bring a tripod. I've got a little shotgun microphone that I can attach to the top of it, and then I'm pretty much set to record. You know, to take photos or record video, which is not bad for that amount of weight and stuff. So, it's been working out really well, and the thing I really want to talk about here is I recently purchased from the Mac App Store Final Cut 10, Final Cut Pro 10.
Do you hate it? Because there was like a bunch of people that were raging about how terrible it was or how much they hated it.
So I can't really tell because the thing is, like, they've made a lot of updates since it first came out. Oh, you can't hear me? Hello. Hello, hello. Uh-oh.
I can't hear you, so I'm waving.
I know.
Can you hear
me? I'm seeing audio levels on my side, so I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to assume the podcast is going on. Anyway, so the what was I saying? Yeah, so they've made a lot of updates, as Emery fiddles with his headphones.
I'm back.
They've made a lot of updates since, and you can hear me now?
Yes, sorry.
Okay. They've made a lot of updates since it first came out, and based on looking at reviews in the App Store, people seem to be really reacting well to the updates.
Okay.
But I can't quite tell if because I really enjoyed using it. I thought it was the best video editing software I've ever seen, right? It was really, really, really easy to use.
Here's the thing, though. It's definitely different from what Final Cut Pro used to be like. And people that do like production work like that, they don't like change.
Yeah, yeah. So,
like,
so
anything different, like, completely drives them bananas.
I use Final Cut Pro 7 a decent amount. I did several paid jobs in Final Cut 7, and used it personally as well. It was, and you know, so I do, like, I know how it functions. I'm not at the point where I used it on a daily basis. And I found that Pro 10 was way better. It's just way better. Like, I could edit, you know, you could probably do this in Final Cut 7. I just never did. I could edit native H.264 video just natively in the timeline. All the controls for sort of, like selecting clips and editing, you know, setting in and out markers and placing things in the timeline, all that stuff. All my keyboard commands still worked, so I actually really, really liked it. So anyway, Final Cut Pro 10 was great. I bought a Wii U, which we're going to talk about later in the show.
Woo!
Yeah, woo! I bought a Wii U. And
I was thinking about it. I wanted one, but
you should get one if you're interested. You know,
I'll explain when we get to that.
It's a curiosity.
I'll explain when we get down there.
All right, and then I'm just going to briefly mention I played the first like 2 hours of Assassin's Creed 3, and I thought it was all right. I thought it was I thought it opened pretty strong. There's a scene in an opera house that is, you know, you don't get many scenes in opera houses in video games, and I think we should have more of that. So,
there was a game on the Steam sale last week that I wanted to buy that I was going to ask you about.
What was it? You remember?
I'll find out in a second because I'm trying to log in now. But it was it reminded me of a game I used to play called Homeworld.
Mm.
That was fantastic. It takes place in space. It's like a real-time space battle thing.
Was it Sins of a Solar Empire? Is that what you're looking at?
I don't know. Hold on.
But yeah, it's multi-platform, so it's available on Mac and Windows at least.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure.
Well, shoot.
Steam did their whole autumn sale, which happened over like Black Friday ish.
So won't they have another one like real soon?
Yeah, but there's going to be most likely there will be a big holiday sale, big winter sale.
Because last year is when you and I were buying each other stuff. Like
yes,
yeah, that was a long day.
Right. Yeah. I mean, generally the winter sale is like, let me buy all the games I don't have, and then there's still more cheap games, but I already have them, so let me just buy them and give them to people because how could I not buy this game at this price?
Right? Oh, I should buy Knights of the Old Republic for my wife.
You should.
Yeah. She loves that game.
Anyway, yeah. So, and usually the winter sale is accompanied by some sort of game, or not game, but like meta game, where you're collecting tickets or collecting like presents or whatever. You know.
Did you ever
by completing objectives, which is kind of fun?
Did you ever play the original id Software Castle Wolfenstein? I bought you the whole set.
No,
of
I
all
played.
Of them.
I played. What was it? Return to Castle Wolfenstein, I think. I played the 3D one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little bit, that's not nearly as retro.
I should probably play the original. Yeah.
Did you pick up the new Karateka after
I didn't. I saw so it got mixed reviews. And I saw some footage of it and it looked all right, but I don't have nostalgia for the original, so
Maybe that's see that.
Also Karateka.
I call it Karateka because it sounds better.
Actually, so I went to when I went to PAX East, actually, Jordan Mechner.
I know.
Yeah, talked there. and he didn't know how to pronounce it either.
Yeah, I remember. We talked about that on the show.
You're like,
yeah. I don't know.
Yep, exactly. Okay, cool. So so moving on. I think we mentioned this show on a previous show, right? The Real Housewives of Silicon Valley.
Well, on the last show, we talked about it coming out, and then were going to be someone's beard.
Yeah. So that didn't work out, unfortunately. But I did. I ended up watching it over Thanksgiving. It's available on YouTube, actually.
Nice.
For purchase. And ended up watching the first episode. I've not watched any other episodes, which maybe is an indicator of how much I really enjoyed it. I mean, I'd like to say it's so bad it's good, but like, I don't even know. I mean, it's just.
So it's not as entertaining as, say, a Honey Boo Boo.
Well, what's a.
You've seen Honey Boo Boo.
I have not.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
You know, it's got to be all over the YouTube.
Okay.
We'll figure something out.
All right. Anyway, so it's just like, it spends a lot of time on this person, the usual like Bravo drama. You know, this person doesn't like this person because they have some feud, and then they're like,
and the feud is really bad on this show because they're all a bunch of nerds.
Well, no, because these are like the nerds get shown like briefly. And then the entire show is like the non-tech Silicon Valley people, right? So it's like the one of the main characters is a social media, social media marketing expert.
So it's basically like just a parade of jerk-offs as far as the eye can
see.
And
one of them is a life caster.
Oh.
And one of them, and then two of them are this brother and sister duo that are coming from, the brother's apparently like he's technical, the sister is not, and they're coming from Britain, I think, and they're co-founding a fitness app company. And then there are a couple people on, like couple characters on the show that are actually seem to have technical skills. But the majority of the footage is them like partying or having feuds with each other. So
good for them.
Yeah, and then the reason I haven't watched more episodes is the end of the first episode, they do like, coming up this season on Startup Silicon Valley. And the entire preview is people just like yelling at each other. Or whatever, having, disagreements or having like, petty, like friendship drama.
I'm pretty sure there was a new episode or two of Storage Wars recently. That sounds like it would be...
It's so much better. So much better. Yeah, if you need to watch bad TV, watch Storage Wars. That's the way to go. Yep.
I mean, I've even been watching the Storage Wars Texas.
Oh, man. I mean, Storage Wars Texas... Well, we've talked about this, right? Yeah. It has its positives and negatives.
Yes, it does. Victor is a negative.
Yep. Yeah.
I hate that guy.
Anyway, you should probably watch the first episode just to, like, see the ridiculousness of this show, but it's really, like, it does not need to be consumed in a larger quantity than that.
So. All right, well, I'll give it a big pass, then. I'll stick to my Beverly Hills Nannies.
All right.
And my Housewives of Atlanta and my Storage Wars.
Sounds good. Sounds good. All right, so
does it, Alan, does it?
I've been talking for a while, so I'm actually going to skip straight to Thanksgiving, and we'll talk about Wii U after. Let me rearrange here. So tell me about the Emery's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving was magnificent. It was lovely. It's definitely different as I get older. My Thanksgiving has always been, when I was much younger, we had these huge family Thanksgivings. Like, one of my grandmothers, her brother routinely would have a very large, like, more than 50 people throughout the day dropping in and out Thanksgiving. Yeah, yeah. And that was always a lot of fun. And it was mainly like, I'm the oldest grandkid in that side of the family, so there wasn't really a lot of people my age. But then, like, as people got older and kind of, like, spread out a little bit more, that was when I moved and I was on the East Coast for a long time. And I didn't come home very much. And, because I'm, like, you know, I'm really bad at family. But so what we started doing years ago was we had, like, a Hell Yeah Thanksgiving.
Interesting.
So we had people who would kind of be somewhat affiliated with Hell Yeah, either, like, from the Moo that we run or just that they had an account on one of the Hell Yeah servers or whatever. We'd have, like, a bunch of people over, and we'd have, like, weekly dinners. But Thanksgiving was always good, and we had a couple in particular that were great. And then we had one that was just horrible, and then that was the last one. But we had several that were really, really good. And there was, like, one year, I think, I'm not really a huge anime fan, but there's a couple of series that I really like a lot. And one year, one of the guys that I used to work with, who is a super fan, he brought in, like, the entire series of Evangelion, which is
we
watched the entire damn thing. Classic. Over the course of, like, 2 days.
That's
off
awesome.
Off VHS on, like, a 13-inch television.
That is a hell of a Thanksgiving. Wow.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there, too. That was the year I think we had, like, a 25-pound turkey.
That's great.
Huh. Yeah, that was a really... It was a lot of fun. And, like, we had people from all over the Midwest would come out and up and down the East Coast. I want to say the furthest people came with was, like, probably Indiana and later Chicago. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And but, like I said, it's, as people have gotten older, it's changed. And then we... Nowadays, have Thanksgiving at my sister's house, and it's definitely strange to have Thanksgiving or family events with, like, your own kids. So, like, my daughter is, like, you know, she's just over 6 months now, and she's starting to sit up, and she's, like, kind of wobbly about it, but she can, you know, stay upright for the most part.
Sure.
Which is good, because if she falls over, she can't get herself back up again. She's like a turtle. Oh. And so there's a little bit of that. She's got teeth coming in, and she's getting chatty and, like, lots of rah, 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 lots of jibber jabber. And she started to eat adult food, which is good, because it's, like, finally, like, I can finally feed her something, right? But what I like the most, or what she likes the most right now, is cantaloupe. And I'm not really a fan of cantaloupe, so I don't really see the appeal, but she loves it. Like, she's had bananas, she's had cantaloupe, she's had some sort of a cereal thing that looks horrible. And then avocado. Okay. And she likes avocado, she likes bananas, but she loves, like, cantaloupe.
Plain avocado?
Yep.
That's so weird. I tried avocado once without anything else, just, like, eating the avocado, and really disliked it. Like, and really? I love guacamole. I love, you know, avocado in like burritos and, you know, on other things.
Well, keep in mind the palate of a baby. She's never had salt. She's never had sugar.
Yeah.
She's never had spices.
Right. Right.
You know, she's had milk.
Yeah.
And that's it. She doesn't have a very diverse. You know, she has a favorite.
Anything mushy with any flavor is like that.
Yeah, it's definitely different. And the first time she had banana was really funny because she was really angry about it. Like, she was kind of like made a lot of faces. Yeah. But she's definitely a big fan of the cantaloupe. She like dives at it like with her mouth open, like she does that. It's like a shark attack where she's like, you know, moves her head from side to side like a boxer. Uh-huh. And then she like jumps on it.
Great.
So
that's the way to eat cantaloupe. That's how I eat cantaloupe. I don't know about you. Yeah.
So we have some wedges of it that are frozen, and she likes to gnaw on those. And then we got some of these like little trays. So, because you know, it sounds so stupid because we're like people. There's like, you know, a lot of, you can go to the store and you walk past all this baby food.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, it'd probably be easier and better all around because we're trying, like my wife and I are trying to cook more.
Yeah.
So we're like, it'd probably be better and more incentive if we actually are like making this stuff.
Right. Right.
So, you know, the things that we're eating, we take some of those ingredients and then we're doing stuff with it, like putting in a food processor and we're putting it in these, we put in these little trays and then you freeze them and then,
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty slick. I actually like it a lot. I'm a big fan, but the, at Thanksgiving though, my stepmother makes this amazing stuffing that she got the recipe for. There was a restaurant in their town that had this, and they, not every year, but they would have it some years, and she would always get like just a huge quantity of it, and I would eat just about as much of it as I could possibly get into my
stuffing
mouth.
Stuffing is Thanksgiving. Stuffing is awesome.
Especially with sausage, like berries and
sausage.
It's so good.
That
so good.
Great. Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
The problem with stuffing is how quickly it can go bad.
Yeah, I didn't, thankfully we really didn't keep it around very long because I hoofed it. But turkey went pretty quick too, sandwiches. But family photos are pretty funny. I had a couple of timer shots with a tripod with my camera, the Fuji.
Oh, nice.
And my dad had some that he took on his camera too. I look like an escaped mental patient in all of them. Like, I don't know what I... Something was seriously wrong with me. I'm like, my eyes are all big and wide, and I'm like all like unnaturally posed. It's kind of ridiculous, but got some good ones of my nephew and of my daughter, and it's a lot of fun. It's just, it's definitely weird, like seeing, you know, this is my family. Like, it's kind of it's definitely odd. I'm not used to it yet.
All right. It's good.
So tell me about your Thanksgiving. If you want,
my Thanksgiving was there was a lot of food. It was a potluck with a bunch of people in the master's program at Carnegie Mellon. So it was like a bunch of people brought a bunch of random dishes, and some of those dishes had to do with Thanksgiving, and some didn't have anything to do with Thanksgiving. So we had turkey. We had cranberry sauce, or cranberry whatever, the gel thing.
Did it come in a can and wiggle out?
Yes, yes.
Nice, yeah.
we had mashed potatoes. We had tacos.
tacos are good.
Yeah, we had macaroni and cheese.
Mac and cheese is good.
Really awesome. I made the mac and cheese, and it was good.
Did you make it with lobster? Or?
I made it with goat cheese. I made it with sharp cheddar. But then a layer of goat cheese on top of it.
I like that.
And red onions as well. It was.
That sounds good.
It was really good. Anyway, so it was a bunch of random food, which somehow coalesced into Thanksgiving. However, I bemoan the lack of two things: one, stuffing; two, pumpkin pie.
So. Ooh, I forgot the best part of my Thanksgiving.
Yeah, pumpkin pie.
No, I didn't have pumpkin pie. Liz made a Honey Crisp apple crisp.
That's pretty good.
It's amazing. It was so good. I could have eaten the entire pan of that. It was amazing.
Nice.
But yeah, pumpkin pie is pretty good too.
Yeah, pumpkin pie is solid. Occasionally they have pumpkin pie frozen yogurt at work, which is is pretty solid. So
Is it like a Greek frozen yogurt? So it's kind of thick and like whipped, like a custard.
It's no, it's more like it's not that creamy. It's more like you know, kind of icy and like firm. So yeah, but it is good. Anyway, so yeah, and then just before Thanksgiving, like the weekend before Thanksgiving, I bought the Wii U, like the day it came out.
I thought about it, and I was telling my wife, I'm like, I should go to the store and buy a Wii U. She's like, well, why? Well, and she said, why? And I said, why not?
Like, because it's in stores. That's the thing. Like, it was available, which is so
weird. Yeah,
because
it was like a Saturday or something, right? Or Sunday. Like, right. It came out on a weird day.
When the Wii came out, you could not get one anywhere. And the Wii U, like, I walked into a store and they didn't have the black ones, the, like, 32 gig, high end ones, but they had the cheap ones
that you said not to get. You were get the special
one. It's a bad deal, right? It's like you lose out because you don't get Nintendo Land, the game, the pack-in game. You don't get a stand, which who cares? You don't get $5 off your eShop purchases, your digital purchases. So it's all around a bad deal to get the cheap one. But it's all they had in the store, and it was launch day, and I felt like buying one. So I bought one, and then a friend of mine and I set it up real quick. I had to take him to the airport, so we're, like, setting it up and trying to try it out before I have to run him to the airport. And we sort of, like, just managed to get it into starting its software update, which was a really exciting process.
I heard there was a bunch of problems with that, though.
It was, well, so it turns out it was like a 2 gigabyte software update on day one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's like when you bring home a new computer and you get like Service Pack 5. You're like,
yeah.
Like, what?
But I mean, so 2 gigabytes, this thing is basically like, that's the size of its OS. This thing is basically re-downloading its entire OS day one.
Right. And people were bricking them because they were like, something's wrong. It can't be taking this long. And they were like pulling the plug on them, right?
Yeah. No, it's not a good thing. So they, I think they've like subsequently apologized for that, which, you know, for all that means.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. But
that's why we launched in the U.S. instead of Japan.
It worked out fine because I turned on their software update and took my friend to the airport and got back and it was all done. So, you know, no problem. Anyway, it's you know, it's fine, whatever. It's a device. It exists. It has things on it. Some of those things are entertaining. Nothing's really blown me away though. So, you know, it's not that like with the original with the Wii, it was like, wow, this is, you know, especially the tennis and bowling and whatever. It's like, wow, this is not something anyone has really done before. At this level. At this approachability, you know, for a consumer, the Wii U is just like, well, yeah, okay, I understand all of this stuff. I've seen all this stuff before, like this kind of, you know, multi-screen stuff, like this, you know, some of this stuff was done on the GameCube, you know, like having Game Boy Advances hooked up to a GameCube and you know,
the Tingle Tuner.
That's
what they called it on Zelda.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you had a Game Boy Advance and, and you hooked it up to the GameCube when you're playing Wind Waker, you could have like a Tingle would show up.
Really? I didn't actually know that.
Huh. It was awesome. That's the best Zelda game in the house.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. I got a really cool piece of Zelda art for my wife that I have to get
really?
Framed.
Really?
Yeah. There's a guy in the UK that did like a Wind Waker themed promotional poster for like a game store or something. And I saw it, like, I don't even know how I came across it. It was, like, on someone's Tumblr that was, like, getting passed around. And I contacted the guy on Twitter, and I'm like, I need a print of this. Mm-hmm. And a few months later, he was like, okay, I'm able
That's
to do
awesome.
It now. And
wow.
Oh, it's great. It's great. I need to, like, scan it or take a picture of it or something, because it's way cool.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Anyway, so it's...
That's like your favorite game of all time. That and Eternal Darkness are
my
two
favorite
games.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
So
tell me about people have been saying the Wii is slow.
It's so slow. Oh, it's slow. I mean, the games aren't slow, right? Well, the games are slow, but the games were like, they're trying to, you know, like I don't own these, but I've seen people playing, I've seen footage of like Assassin's Creed 3, Mass Effect's okay. What else?
Mass Effect 3 is slow on the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, I think it's faster on the Wii U than the PlayStation 3. But then Assassin's Creed 3 does not look good. You know, Epic Mickey 2 does not look good. Like, all these things, I've seen footage of them. The frame rates don't look good, all that stuff. But that's not the real issue. The real issue is the menu loading times are just
Yeah, they said it's like a big lag, like switching pages or something. And yeah, I was like, that's terrible.
Just going into, you know, the what they call the Miiverse, which is like their social network, which is actually kind of cool. It's actually got a lot of neat ideas in it. Their sort of built-in social network. And it's so much like you're communicating via hand-drawn pictures, which is a really cool thing. It's actually like, and surprisingly, I guess their moderation is working. You know, no one is drawing dicks, as far as I, right? Which is like a huge step up from the internet's normal state of being. So
yeah, I was gonna say like pretty much, you know, forever. that's generally the go-to.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the first, I think the first thing that anyone ever printed was like an ASCII picture of like a topless woman, right?
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. So, anyway, but getting into that stuff, getting to the friends list, getting back to the Wii menu, loading up a game, like all of these things just take about twice as long as they probably should. So it's you know, and like when I say twice as long, you think, ah, well, you know, that's not too bad, but it's the difference between it feeling like a responsive modern system and it feeling like, wow, did they, like...
Wow, did I really just lose $300?
What did they mess up? Like, how did they get this wrong?
I would seriously be pissed. I can't even tell you, like, if I had a brand new gaming console that was, like, chugging along... Yeah. I would throw it out the window.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't even tell you, like, how frustrating. It's really good that I didn't buy a Wii U yet. Because this is hopefully a software issue that they can just kind of resolve.
Yeah, because it's... I mean, like, the hardware in this thing is more modern than the hardware in Xbox 360s and PS3s. And, you know, both of those... Like, on Xbox 360 and PS3, you do get lag when you're, like, bringing up the, you know, the menu and stuff. Like, there is some loading lag there. But it's nothing like the lag on the Wii U. It's nothing like it. So, it's just, you know, it's so weird. I mean, you know,
and I also heard
sense, right? Like, Nintendo's not a software company. They're a game company, right? You know, they write software for games, but they don't write, like, you know, or they don't write a lot of interfaces, you know? Like,
well, no, they never did until the Wii, pretty much. I mean,
right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But the Wii was good. And, like, the, I'm really surprised to hear this. Like, it's really pissing me off because I also I was liking it because my Wii is noisy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this will be great because it plays Wii games. But you have to, like, reboot into Wii mode?
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
What's that all about?
The Wii stuff is basically, as far as I can tell, all emulation. Not just emulation of the software title, emulation of the entire Wii console. So you have to, like, boot into a virtual Wii console mode and then launch games from in there. Yeah. Okay. The other thing is the console itself, the Wii U, is quiet. It's pretty quiet as far as I can tell. What is not quiet is the hard drive I've had to hook up to it in order to store any games. That hard drive is not quiet because that hard drive is an old hard drive I had lying around that I was the only hard drive I could erase and repurpose into my Wii U extension.
I had to do a soft mod on my Wii, and I have a USB hard drive hooked up to my Wii with, like, all of my game images on it. Because seriously, like, if I've got a disc in it, it's like...
Yeah.
Sounds horrible. Yeah. Hate it.
So I have one disc in my Wii U. The rest of my games I bought digitally, which the rest are only, like, two games and one little, like, mini game. And so I have the one disc Nintendo Land that's just sitting in there, and then everything else is downloaded. But for all of that downloaded stuff... You know, I mean, my Wii console only has 8 gigabytes of storage. Even on the 32 gigabyte version, that's not going to hold a whole lot of modern games. So you're looking at having to have an external hard drive. And it doesn't even support having games on an SD card. It has an SD card slot, but you cannot put games on it. You have to put games on an external hard drive.
You wouldn't want to put them on an SD card slot, though.
Why not?
They're not. It's not fast enough.
Well, if it was a fast SD card slot...
Even the fastest SD card slot is slow. Compared to, like, a disc or... Trust me.
I mean, on the PlayStation Vita, all my games are on an SD card. They're on a Sony special card, actually.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. All right. That's true.
mean, I tried once. I was like thinking that if they had like a really high capacity SD card that you could drop into like your MacBook, it'd make a good little Time Machine volume.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's slow.
I mean, are you getting a quality SD card?
Oh yeah.
Are you getting a, like
I buy the same the same ones I use on my camera. Which I mean, for my camera it's fine because again it's like a sequential 5 megabyte write.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So it's not like you know, storing a bunch of games where you got a ton of smaller files and.
All right. Well, let me tell you, the any SD card's better than the fake SD card I got from eBay one time.
SB.
Yeah. It was great. It was. I think it was like a. It was like a 256 kilobyte SD card, and the or 256 megabyte SD card, but they had faked it to make it look like a like 32 gigabyte SD card.
Wow.
To the system, but there was only actually 256 megabytes of memory there. Yeah, it was fantastic. I wrote them a very,
You left them bad feedback.
I wrote them a letter with many capital words in it. Yeah.
Wow. You showed them.
Yeah, fun times. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, they can't like that. So. Anyway. So yeah, so that's the Wii U. It's it's fine. Like it's actually probably better than expected. From my perspective,
Yeah, you weren't too like you were not really into it coming out.
No, I really wasn't. And then I, on launch day, I was watching an online stream of people going through sort of all the features and the games and stuff. And that kind of, I'm like, oh, hey, this is actually like this. It looks like it works, and there's some kind of interesting games on it. So might as well check it out. And it's been an interesting. Study in, where, how Nintendo sees their position in, like where they want to go. It's like, well, they kind of, it's like everyone was saying, hey, Nintendo needs internet connectivity. Like, all their previous consoles have completely ignored the internet. This console needs some internet features. And they approach that in this really like Nintendo-like way, which kind of works. There's this whole Miiverse thing, and everyone's writing these handwritten messages to each other, and it's like this super cool thing that does not exist anywhere else. Like this idea of this game-related network of message boards with hand-drawn posts on them, and there's a bunch of people like drawing Mario fan art and whatever like. And you can post these things from a game. So you're like, I'm at World 3-2, and here's my screenshot of this really terrible hard part of it, and my like three lines about how incredibly hard this is, or whatever. Or here's my tip to get around this, or something like that. So
that's pretty slick.
Yeah, yeah. Like I feel like that stuff. Like if some type of that. If some version of that functionality doesn't make it into the next Xbox, or PS3, I think, Sony and Microsoft, I think they, like, I think that's a mistake on their part. Like, I think Nintendo at this point has a more refined, in some ways, a more refined approach to, social connectivity around games.
Well, I mean,
not necessarily around playing games, like around playing games together, like that stuff. I haven't really seen a lot of that stuff, and it doesn't seem to be that well integrated. But the idea of talking about games and sharing common experiences across, a bunch of random people, around a game, I think Nintendo really like actually got that right. So
that's good.
Yep.
I think. I had a sleep study, but we should probably bag it because we're.
You think so? You want to talk about? You want to talk about briefly?
Well, I had a sleep study.
Okay. All right, good. More information to come in a future episode of the Hell Yeah Show. Emery had a sleep study.
Uh-huh.
A little teaser for you.
Yeah, I had all kinds of stuff glued to my head, and it was a lot like when Rick Moranis was visiting the Ghostbusters and being interrogated.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Yeah. All right. That sounds so pleasant.
Oh, the game was called Endless Space. That was the one that they had on sale.
Oh, I don't know. The name rings a bell, but I don't know much about it.
So. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, sorry. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it then. Stay tuned for in a future week, that sleep study story, because it's going to be awesome. Now that I'm hyping it up.
It's not that awesome. It's basically just a story of the worst night of sleep I've ever had in my life.
All right. That sounds fantastic. If you want to contact us, the email address is show@hellyeah.com. The web address is show.hellyeah.com.
On the Twitter machine, you may reach us at twitter.com/hellyeahshow. Send us a tweet at hellyeahshow.
All right. And with that, I think we will see you in about 2 weeks.
Peace out.